Hey, everybody, you're listening to the Mavs Fanatics on Almighty Baller Radio.
At the request of our MVP, he's going to lead us in our new favorite song.
Thank you, Master!
What's going on? It's Tame Turner, host of the Mavs Fanatic Radio Show right here on Dash Radio and on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Across the table from me and her in our studio is Nick Yangstead, that guy, my partner in crime. What's going on, Big Money?
What up?
I just called him Big Money.
You never called me that before. Just enjoying some offseason. The finals game three is tonight's a big one. It's a big one. By the time you're listening to this, you may have already seen it, but it's a big one tonight.
I think it's going to be a fun night, a lot more fun than it was out in Oakland.
Yeah, and actually, the Mavericks have, there's some implications this game as well as the whole series. There's some implications for the Mavericks. Dirk went on Ben and Skin from 105.3 The Fan the other day, and he said that he thinks the Warriors will win the finals. Not a hot take. Not something.
No, the shocker.
No, not something that comes up and you're like, oh my gosh, Dirk with, you know, bringing the hot takes. But as a Mavs fan, should we root for the Cavs the same way that they rooted for us?
Well, you know, it's funny bringing that up, because the reason why the Cavs rooted for the Mavs was because they hated LeBron at the time.
Right. But and, now LeBron's back on the Cavs.
Right, and they love him to death, which reasonably, justifiably so. He won him a championship. But, I mean, me personally, I am going to root for the Cavs, not specifically for that reason, but more because, yes, I am still a bitter Mavs fan from 2007 losing to the Warriors, so I want to see them lose. Ironically, I went for the Warriors last year, though, so I guess I'm a bit of a hypocrite, but it is what it is. Different year, different team, different reason.
And there's nothing to be bitter about from LeBron, right? Like, the Mavs beat LeBron.
Right. No, I'm not mad at LeBron.
Finals.
Yeah. If it's just talking finals, no. I mean, who are you rooting for in these finals?
I like the Warriors. Yeah. I mean, I've liked Steph Curry. I went to a game in 2013. Whenever you say you're rooting for, like, the team that's favored, you always have to give a caveat. Like, this is the reason why. Like, I'm not a bandwagon. I'm not jumping on. And even if you consider me a bandwagon, it's fine. I just enjoy watching them play. Always love Kevin Durant. I've always loved Steph Curry. And putting the two together was just like, oh, man. Like,
yeah, I mean,
you know, when you have, like, two favorite players in the NBA, you hope that they make it onto your team. But then when they make it on another, you're like, secretly, man, I'm gonna be a fan of that team.
Yeah. No, I mean, I remember as a kid, I loved Kobe and Shaq together.
Yeah,
they were simply fun and phenomenal. I mean, me going for Cleveland in this series, I don't fault people for picking a finals team or any championship, whatever sport it is, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, whatever. I feel like you should root for a team in the championship round. At the end of the day, I don't particularly care, because I'm not a fan of the Warriors. I'm not a fan of the Cavs. I'm a Mavericks fan, but it is fun to kind of root. And if you're watching the game with people, kind of have a little back and forth or whatever, have a little fun with that.
Yeah, and some people take it even to another level where they have some financial incentives in this game. So they don't just cheer for, like, pure fandom. They cheer for, their wallets.
They'll be like, make that three, KD. You better do it. I have money on
this
game. I have
the over. So I wrote a piece for MavsFanatic.com last week, and it still applies. I wrote it after game one, and after game two, it was just as true as it was in game one, and maybe after tonight's game, it'll be the same. But the headline or the title was that Warriors Finals Performance Affirms Mavs Rebuild, because it's coming at just the right time. Because if you look at this Warriors team, and everyone is right now, everyone's looking at the Warriors team, they're all looking at the Cavs team, they're all looking at these two teams. The entire NBA has basically been fixated on these two teams for the entire season.
Yeah, I mean, we knew last year after Cleveland won the finals, that it was most likely going to be Cavs and Warriors again.
And this is the first time in NBA history that you have four all-NBA guys all on the same team under the age of 30. And they're not just like,
it's insane.
They're not barely under the age of 30 either. They are like
very
significantly under the
they're
age
like
of 30.
They're like our age.
Durant and Curry are 28. And Thompson and Green are 26. There's a study done.
I turned 26 in a month.
there's a study done by a Redditor a while ago. He went through all the Hall of Famers, and he went through, like, where their peaks were, like what their best season is, and how long their peak performance lasts. And this is what I laid all this out in the piece. So go to MavsFanatic.com, check that out. It's probably in the still in the slider there. And he said that 27 is the average peak age for an NBA player, and that your peak lasts, the peak is about 5 years. So either that starts maybe a little bit before 27, maybe starts at 27. Like whenever you start your peak, it's five. It's the average length is 5 years.
Right.
So Thompson and Green have not even hit that yet.
Scary.
They still have a year until they hit that average peak. And then Curry and Durant are already there. I mean, they already have MVPs under their belt. They have tons of all NBAs under their belt. And so
that's scary.
If it, let's say that it starts now, we have 5 years. You have 5 years for these guys to end their peak, like complete, almost completely end their peak.
Right.
In 5 years, Curry will be what, 33? That's sort of getting to the tail end right there. Right. That's getting to
right, you know, hitting the end of the tunnel.
That's getting to like Devin Harris, JJ Barea, where they are right now. Like that's kind of that age.
So it's like if your other teams, well, I'll put it like this first before I say that. LeBron and KD, ironically, you know, they're both playing in the finals.
And they both are rappers secretly.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Apparently in 2011, they made a rap single.
The
together.
Lockout made a lot of people do a lot of weird things.
Yeah, right? Well, the thing is, LeBron and KD, I guess in a sense, started a trend of, you know, these super teams that we've been talking about for quite quite some time now.
I'll counter you with that. I think that the Celtics in 2008.
LeBron and KD free agent wise. Because remember, Ray Allen and KG were traded.
Yeah.
From a free agent standpoint, LeBron and KD have started this trend of, you know, let's get this super team going.
Let's just control our own fate, basically.
In a way, yeah. So, I mean, they've kind of set the precedent of other players are probably going to start doing that a lot more often now.
Yeah.
And it's great. Golden State had it perfect because they drafted Curry well. They drafted Thompson.
They re-signed Draymond Green.
Right. And then they were able to sign KD. So if you're the Mavericks, look at some of the pieces you have right now. Harrison Barnes, a piece.
24.
Nerlens Noel, 22. Yeah, 22, 23, just a piece. They have to score in this draft. They have to score in this draft because if they can get a young big three,
yeah,
and then 2019, 2020, some big-name free agent comes as they're about to enter their prime, that's attractive because let's look at the last 5 years. No, we talked about it last week. Why haven't we been able to get free agents to come here?
Yeah.
Well, the Mavericks have been on the wrong side of 30. If you are developing a young big three on the right side of 30, that superstar is like, hey, I like that. We can actually build and grow with that. Kevin Durant saw a big three in Golden State, Draymond, Klay, and Steph, who are on the right side of 30. And made it a four. And a very huge, that's not just a big four, it's a huge four.
That might be the best four. That probably is the best four.
Right now or of all time?
Of all time. The best four. One to four. It's hard to come up with, because like Shaq and Kobe may be the best two to ever play together, right? Like, because maybe not at the same time, but like of all time to come together. Kareem and Magic are right there. But then even
Jordan and Pippen.
But then their third and fourth are not as good as Draymond and Klay.
Well, there's always been
James Worthy with the Lakers.
There's been a lot of big threes.
Yeah.
Throughout the league for a long time.
It's not a lot of fours.
A four, it's hard. It's hard to do. And I mean, I don't know. It might be. We can definitely say it's in the conversation. I have to look at some other teams. But you know, you talk. I mean, you brought up some of the big twos: Kobe and Shaq, Jordan and Pippen. You know, I wrote
Stockton and Malone.
Yeah, I wrote down a few here if I can pull out the right piece of paper.
Magic and Kareem. You have Bird and McHale.
Bird and Parrish.
Add that as the three there. Yeah, I mean, obviously you have the LeBron, Dwayne,
Chamberlain,
Dwayne
and West.
Yeah, that was a good one. Elgin Baylor and West before that.
Yeah, that too.
And
yep.
Then the three of them together, I mean, that was sort of the tail end of Elgin's career.
Right.
Maybe not the complete peak of Wilt Chamberlain's when the three of them were together.
Right.
But that was probably the first like big, massive three in the
right.
60s.
LeBron and Wade, Stockton and Malone, Duncan and Robinson for a small period.
Yeah, that was a big
one. I mean, you've had a lot. I mean, they were really good in the 90s. I didn't see them play that much, but Gary Payton, Sean Kemp, very good big two.
Yeah, they went pretty far in the playoffs.
Yeah, they were a very good duo. And, I mean, you look at some of these duos, they're really good, and it's hard to say.
Sam Hinkie and his draft picks. That's a big multiple.
Yeah, I mean, you look at some of these teams, but you look at where the Mavericks are going, I think their fate for the future, because you brought up your article piece that you brought, that you wrote up, I think for their piece in the future, it could literally start with this draft. They have to score on this draft.
And I think we're going to look back at this season. We've been sort of saying this all year. We're going to look back at the season as a time that rebuilding started. And the Mavericks decided, like, you know, we were trying to say all season, they needed to make a decision which way to go. And then when they traded for Nerlens Noel, that told us that they're going young. Like, they're going to start the rebuild. And they probably saw the writing on the wall with the Warriors and teams like that and said, we kind of need to wait this out. And also, it just happens that, you know, we're in a point where our superstar is aging. And so now we're going to, you know, re-up. We're going to try to get, you know, get as many assets as we can, you know, 76er style, and find one maybe that'll hit. And eventually, yeah, we could make a big three.
And you think about it, if they have that big three, and then, like I said, 2019, 2020, they signed a big star.
Yeah.
What does that turn into? You have aging veterans who want to come play for you because they look at you, you're like, wow, they're a pretty good team. They're young, and we could potentially win a ring with that, you know, get a ring or add a ring to our career as we get older. I think the Mavericks are in the right direction, but again, it all depends on this draft. They have to. This is the highest draft pick that they've had since what, 19? Since Dirk.
Yeah.
And they have to score on this. They literally have to.
I'm not sure if they have to. They have to get a solid player in this draft. Like, they have to get a piece. You know, they don't. I think if they get a bust, if they draft, like, there's talk right now of the Mavericks and other teams potentially wanting to bring back Jan Vesely. Like, remember Jan Vesely? He went 7th in a draft. And he like went pretty high, and that guy just didn't make it in the league.
Right.
If they get a guy like that in the draft, then that is awful. If they get a guy like a solid player, if they get a, I can't think of just a solid player that went high in the draft. I'll look for one. But like, if they just get a solid player, I think it's okay. Because next year, the team's not going to be that much better where they're going to be out of the lottery, right? Like, this Mavericks team's going to be in the lottery again, right?
I would assume so. I mean, if they, it depends. I mean, it's too early to tell. I mean, I think that's the safe.
You're thinking
assumption.
This team's going to make the playoffs next year?
I think there's going to be some teams that look different next year. And a lot of that's because of the Warriors and Cavs. You know, yeah. I don't know how good the Clippers are going to be. I don't know how good, you know, I think the Mavericks fought for an 8 seed for a good chunk of this year with a lot of injuries that started at the beginning of the year. They didn't start to fade off roll right to the end.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if the Mavericks are competing for an 8 seed and they make it, I'm not really surprised at that. They won't go far. They'll lose to Golden State, probably get swept. But, you know, am I going to say they're completely in the lottery next year? I think it's too early to tell. I got to wait till the draft. I got to wait till free agency.
So completely in the lottery for you is like top 10. And not like, because the fringe lottery is like your Pistons, your Hornets, the guys that are below basically the Mavericks.
Yeah.
Right now.
I mean, I think that they're right. I mean, they went 33-49, and a lot of their losses came the last 2-3 weeks of the season when they were literally tanking. So, I mean, they were 4 games out of the 8th spot, what, the last week of March? That's not that bad.
Yeah,
considering the injuries they had.
I was going back through some of my pieces from this year, and there's like a couple pieces I wrote, like, guard your heart. The Mavericks can still make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, we talked about it. I remember us talking about it in February and March. We're like, can the Mavericks make a run? There was a point where they went 6-1 in a 7-game stretch. I mean, I don't know if they're an automatic lock to be a lottery team, but I mean, they're not a. They're not going to be competing for a championship. We know that. And they're not going to be a top playoff team. But I want to see growth. And I want to see a draft pick. Whoever they draft, I want to see, you know, something where I can look at him and be like, yeah, that guy, you better watch out for him.
So we went back – last podcast we went back through all the former number 9 picks and who they were. Now let's look at one. In 2011, Kemba Walker was the 9th pick.
I love Kemba.
If they get a Kemba Walker, like that level of player, is that hitting for you? Like, is that
I can roll with it?
Like a fringe All Star guy that's never probably going to make an All NBA team, but he's going to be probably top 15 point guards in the NBA.
Right. I mean, I'll definitely roll with it. I'm not tripping about it. What I love to see better, obviously, but you know, if I like Kemba Walker, I think he's a good player. I like him in Charlotte. I like him at UConn. I think he's a very solid player.
I vehemently disagree with the Mavericks aren't going to be in the deep in the lottery next year. Cause if you look at the West, I mean, yeah, the Clippers might be a little worse. They're still going to be a good team. I think Chris Paul is definitely going to be back. I think Blake Griffin's probably going to be back. And if only Chris Paul is back, I still think they're in the playoffs. Then you have the Grizzlies are still going to be the same. The Thunder are going to be the same. The Blazers with Nurkic for an entire year are still going to be good. That's probably your 8 seed. The Nuggets are only getting better with Jokic. You have the Pelicans. The Pelicans get a whole year of Davis and Cousins. Now, that could implode, but that implosion is still probably better than whatever the Mavericks are going to throw out there. The Timberwolves are probably going to get better, right? You got these young guys that are still growing and developing. The Lakers and Suns are going to get top guys, and they'll probably be a little bit better than they are now. The Kings are the only team that you look at in the West as like they're not going to improve. You know, like they're going to get worse than they were the season before.
Well, here's the thing that the Mavericks have really over all of those teams. They have Rick Carlisle.
That's true.
And Rick Carlisle is a really good coach. And
you don't believe in Alvin Gentry?
No.
Or Earl Watson?
No. I mean, I know you're throwing out names. I'm sorry. I thought of Tyronn Lue for a different reason. But
I thought about that. Did you see the press conference with Tyronn Lue yesterday where he said, not yesterday or the day before, where he goes, some reporter asked him if he was going to make a change in the starting lineup. And Tyronn Lue like doesn't even change his face and just goes, nope. Just straight up nope. Like not even no or like no, we've thought about it, but we're not going to go in that direction. Like just nope.
I wrote on Facebook yesterday, I can't look or listen to Tyronn Lue, not because I don't like him, but just every time I see him, I just automatically think of when
Allen
I was nine.
Iverson.
Watching Allen Iverson just embarrass him.
Just and embarrass it, a grown man.
And I remember when I was credentialed at Mavs Cavs early this year, and I walked into the Cavs locker room, and Tyronn Lue was walking out, and me and Cedric Bailey from BGC Sports Network, we said, you know, hi,
shout
what's
out
up to him? And I gave him a fist bump. And the only thing I was thinking of the entire time was, like, you got embarrassed by Iverson. Like I didn't want to say it. But
that's his most memorable moment as a player
right,
in the NBA.
And, yeah, and it's just
– despite that they won that title.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, especially for, like, our generation,
yeah.
I don't think – we're going to look at him as the Cavs coach. We're just going to look at him as he got embarrassed by Allen Iverson. That's like his signature moment.
He won the title as a coach, but.
LeBron. So, sorry. I like Tyronn Lue, but I just still. I posted that picture today. I just, Allen Iverson, just walking over him. It's just, that's all
great.
I see. It's all I see.
I grew up a Lakers fan, and that moment was incredible to me. Like, even, that was even my team, and I was like, oh
yeah,
it made both sides just like appreciate how good Iverson was.
Right. I remember watching that game. I was 9 years old. I was in Indianapolis, Indiana on vacation.
Wow.
And when that happened,
we're all over the place.
Yeah, right. I when that happened, I remember my cousin was sitting next to me. He was like 11 or 12 at the time. And we literally were just like, like we had that oh moment, and it was insane. And me being, you know, fourth going into fifth grade, I'm just like, man, like that's the answer. Right,
you go
there
outside and you hit a couple jumpers on the hoop outside,
right?
And you just like step over invisible people,
right? You just try it,
or like
just,
you put a skateboard there and you step over it.
And what made it even worse, it happened in overtime in front of the Lakers bench.
Yeah,
like
the disrespect,
right? It's like, and there's nothing you can do because you know it's
those
nice
moments are so great. Like last night, I was at the Wings game, and Tolliver for the Mystics. I think her name's Christy Tolliver. She hit a three right in front of the Wings bench, and she just turns and glares at him, like gives this like Kobe snarl like type face with the lower lip out, like
right.
And she just like glares at him, and then she just like runs to the other floor. And that was a WNBA game, and I could still feel like the animosity.
Well,
you know,
if I had to relate to it in a way, yesterday I watched probably one of the most memorable and favorite games in Mavs history. I rewatched 2011 Game 2 of the NBA Finals Heat and Mavs.
Ooh.
And I remember when Wade hit that three in the corner and the Heat went up 88-73. And LeBron and Wade did a little, you know, they were very happy in front of the Mavs bench. The Mavericks come all the way back.
Yeah.
Dirk pretty much has a game-winning layup. Dwayne Wade goes for the three at the end. He misses. And the camera, the ESPN puts their camera right on Dirk and as he's walking to the bench, and he just has this look of like, like, I'm too hot. Don't touch me. I'm on fire.
I'm a gladiator.
Yeah, right. It was, those moments are just like, I just did that. And for American Airlines Arena, for those Miami Heat fans, they were absolutely stunned.
Yeah.
And Dirk was just looking at him like, don't try me.
I am your leader.
I'm not losing this finals.
Oh, man. So we were talking about best duos because, and a lot of people have been talking about this because of Jeff Van Gundy saying that they're the best duo of all time. And I think offensively, they probably are, right? Like, offensively, it's hard.
It's hard to
argue. Kevin Durant, there's never been a player like him. He's a unicorn. He's a revolutionary player. A 7-footer that can dribble and shoot.
And
shot 50, 40, 90 for a season. That's insane. That's insane.
Kobe and Shaq were both averaging dang near 30 points. Like, listen, I know they're top. And I think it all depends what you want.
They didn't have a Klay Thompson on their team, though.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, we're talking about duos here.
Yeah.
I mean,
Kobe and Shaq were not sharing the ball. That's not a thing that they did.
I mean, I think it all depends with what you want. You know, Kobe and Shaq were the best duo that I remember seeing to this day. They were so fun to watch and they were phenomenal. When they were on point together, it was very fun and very scary. I remember when I was really young, Jordan and Pippen were very, very scary. And Pippen added the defensive factor too, because he was very good defensively.
Jordan wasn't really a slouch either.
Right. I mean, if you go back into the 80s, Magic and Kareem, that's two Hall of Famers, just like Durant and Curry are two Hall of Famers.
And the leading scorer in NBA history.
Right.
Kareem does not get talked about enough.
Right. I mean, I get it. They're in that conversation for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think that we can say which one's the best. That's hard to say. There's a lot of good ones. I mean, Stockton and Malone were the best pick and roll duo probably ever. And so, it depends on what you want.
Yeah. Because they had the longevity, and that's the thing that these Warriors are gonna have to show. And we like to throw they're the best all time already. But this is their first season. Like,
if they throw
a couple more seasons together, they win. Let's say they win three titles together. They win this one, they win the next two, or some amalgam of other titles. You know what I mean? Like, if they do that, then now we're talking. We're in the air where we can say, like, okay, these guys are up there with the best of all time.
By the way, question real quick: is this finals over?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's over in the same way that, like, we argued before about what constitutes a series. Like, if you win two games, is that giving them a series? And I think that is giving them a series, but it can also still be over. Like, you can also still look at it and say, all right, those weren't very convincing. If the Warriors win tonight, which is definitely possible, it's obviously over.
Oh, sure.
Unless LeBron wants to try to make history one more time.
Yeah, in the finals, I don't want to say it's over only because you got to see how the other team plays on their home floor.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, they win both at home, then it's completely different.
Right. I mean, yeah, if Cleveland wins these next two games, everybody in the country we're changing their tune. We've all changed. Right. This whole Durant-Curry talk, we're shutting up with for now. We're going to talk about how great Cleveland was, and they tied it up, and is it a repeat of last year, yada, yada. I remember 06, which breaks my heart, when the Mavericks won the first two games against Miami.
Right.
It didn't look like Miami had a shot. They looked dead in the world.
In the water.
Yeah, sorry. I said in the world. Sorry.
I mean, horses don't really go in the water.
Yeah.
And the heat doesn't go.
Right. I mean, we just have to wait and see. I get it, though. I mean, Golden State's tough.
That's a hot take.
Yeah.
We just got to wait and see.
If Cleveland, and I think Cleveland's going to give it their all tonight.
If they don't, then there's something wrong with them.
Right. Or I don't even know if it's something wrong. I just think Golden State is that much better.
To just, like, beat their spirit down.
Right. But I do think at home you're going to see veterans like JR, like Korver, like Deron Williams. This could be one of their few opportunities they have left. I think they're going to show something at home, because they didn't show anything in Oakland. Tristan Thompson has to play better because he didn't do anything in the first two games.
Yeah.
You know, being at home.
Kevin Love showed up, though.
Yeah, he did. There's a reason in the NBA, players at home tend to play better. They do.
Yeah. You know who else didn't show up?
Who?
Former Maverick Deron Williams.
He
still has not scored.
He has not done anything.
He has not scored at all.
Right. And If Cleveland want, if they want to win tonight, they got to have something from all of them. Now, if they don't do anything, but LeBron and Kyrie have a game like in last year's final where they
like
both
in game
had 42
six, where they
yeah,
had 40 each.
Yeah, then Cleveland probably has a good shot at winning. But overall, like for well all-rounded, well-rounded type of team, Cleveland has to have Korver and Thompson and Williams show something.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm kind of done with the final. I just heard so much about it. Everyone's talking about it. So for the best duo in Mavs history.
Ooh, I got some good ones.
So we've been talking about the best duo in NBA history, but the best duo in Mavs history is hard, right? Like that, it's not like a guarantee. There's not a Stockton Malone for like the Jazz would be like, all right, Stockton Malone.
Right.
The Suns might be like saying like Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire. Like that's probably theirs. The Lakers are obviously Shaq and Kobe, but there's also Magic and Kareem in there. So that one's a little bit difficult. The Bulls, obviously.
The Suns, Johnson and Barkley were pretty good.
That one's probably up there. That one actually might overtake it.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
The Nets, Brooke Lopez and Joe Johnson.
No. The Nets, if you include New Jersey, Jason Kidd and probably everybody else.
But but Brooke Lopez, the all-time scorer in Nets history.
Yeah.
The Heat, it's LeBron and Wade, obviously.
Right. Yeah, LeBron and Wade. Well, Wade and Shaq were pretty good.
Nah, two titles over one title.
That's
we're
true.
We're going to be the Rangs.
I will say this, though. Miami would have won in 05, but remember what happened, right?
No.
In the Eastern Conference Finals against Detroit, Shaq got hurt.
Yeah, and then Detroit went on to...
Yeah, they went on to the finals. But here, I have a few for the Mavericks. Dirk and Terry.
Yeah.
Dirk and Kidd.
Yep.
Dirk and Nash.
Yeah.
Dirk and Finley.
So we agree that one of the two has to be Dirk Nowitzki. Like, we're not going back to, like, we're not going
to. I'm going to go back to the 80s because this was a good one.
Okay.
In 1988, the Dallas Mavericks made the Western Conference Final against the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay.
And during that time period, Mark McGwire and Rolando Blackman were very good.
That's a good duo.
They were very, very good. You know, in 88 in particular, McGwire averaged 25 points.
Yeah.
And Blackman averaged 18.
That's a good duo.
Right? Now, my favorite.
Confidence, baby. Confidence.
My favorite was Dirk and Terry. And I remember just in middle school and high school, some of the fourth quarter battle duos that they would have was just very, very fun to watch.
Yeah. Those guys, that's probably the one. So I looked back and I was like, all right, who's played the most minutes of any like Mavericks players together? And Dirk's obviously number one. He's played almost 49,000 minutes. So he's gonna hit 50,000 minutes this season, which is incredible.
Wow.
Just so much time.
Dog.
So much time.
Played a long time.
But and one of them has to be Dirk, in my opinion. So who with Dirk is, you know, paired with him as the best of all time. So who's played the most minutes with Dirk? If you had to guess, who's played the most minutes with Dirk in his career?
Jason Terry.
Yeah, Jason Terry, 20,219 minutes between, you know, obviously Dirk's career there. Who do you think is second? I'm just going to go with you top five. Who do you think is the top five most minutes played with Dirk Nowitzki?
Okay. Obviously, Jason Terry's number one.
Correct.
Number two, Eric Dampier.
No, he was ninth, I think.
Okay.
He was on there. Eric Dampier.
He played the Mavericks seven seasons, so that's what I was thinking. Jason Kidd?
Jason Kidd is up there, but he's not two.
Okay.
You're missing kind of an obvious one.
Nash?
No.
Finley?
Finley. Michael Finley.
Okay.
His next 19,000, almost 500 minutes.
Yeah, because they played some good seasons
then
together.
Third, arguably one of the best players to play next to Dirk.
One of the best players to play next to Dirk? You said Kidd was ninth, right?
Yeah. Well, he's seventh.
Who?
Should have numbered these guys. Josh Howard. Of the guys, he's the only one to make an all-star team, right?
Made it. Yeah, he did make one all-star team. He just disappointed me so much because of his antics that were just dumb.
Just really dumb.
So there's Josh Howard on there.
Josh Howard. The next one you already mentioned, Steve Nash.
Steve Nash.
Is up there. I didn't think that they had played that much together. But 13,000 minutes that Nash had played while he was, you know, playing with Dirk. The next
was this regular season and playoffs or just regular season?
This is just regular season.
Yeah, because I was going to say, Nash and Dirk, they went to Western Conference Finals in 02 and they lost the Spurs.
So the one after that was interesting. It's not Kidd. It's not Dampier.
Let me think for a second. It's somebody that we wouldn't expect.
Probably wouldn't expect.
Throw it at me.
He was on the 2011 team.
He wasn't on the team?
He was.
Oh, J.J. Barrett.
No. He wasn't even on the top 10.
Sean Marion.
Yeah, Sean Marion right there, 10,000
minutes. I love the Matrix.
Then Jason Kidd, and then a current Maverick.
A current Maverick. I feel like there's so many new players on this team.
It's not J.J. Barea.
clearly. Oh, Devin Harris.
Yeah, Devin Harris. And then your boy, Eric Dampier.
I literally hated Eric Dampier. I feel like for a good 3 or 4 year period, we would have won the championship had we had a better center not named Eric Dampier on the team. I remember how good in 06, how good Saganajop played in the playoffs. And everybody was like, yes, Saganajop, we love him. And it wasn't that he was that great. It was that he was just that much better than Eric Dampier.
Like in baseball, they have war, like wins above average. His Saganajop's war was way above Eric
Dampier.
Or his projected, at least.
Yeah, we used to love his. I mean, he was okay defensively, but he wasn't much offensively. I hate that the Mavericks gave him a nice contract after the 07 season. That came back to bite him, but he was a fan favorite, and everybody loved him, and they gave him that for that reason.
So the Mavs' best regular season team was probably 07, right? That 67 wins, like only 10 teams or 15 teams in NBA history have ever done that. I mean, yeah, that season didn't end well, but regular season-wise, that's the best team.
If they had not played the Warriors that season, they would have won the NBA championship.
Also,
they just could not beat the Warriors.
All right, now that we're here, now that we're at this point, let's go ahead. I wrote/put together this piece. Did you see what Steven Jackson said about Dirk?
I saw you write something. I didn't have time to read it. I was at work, but I heard something about that.
Hey, guys, I'm going to give you a little taste. Taman's never read anything that I write.
Not necessarily. It's that sometimes I see you write stuff, and I'm at work, and I'll go on Facebook or Twitter for a second.
Listen to this. All right, let's give you a little taste of what Steven Jackson said. This is on The Jump for ESPN.
You said you can tell who you can light up. Can you tell who is just going to blow it off and who you're not going to be able to get at?
Say, for a perfect example, Dirk is one of the best ever. But game one, we knew we had him. We saw it in his eyes.
Really?
You know, I saw it in his eyes. Yes, I saw it in his eyes. And you know, you got
a man. I got 30.
Wait till the
points.
End.
Right.
And one thing about it, I never blocked a 7-footer shot against the backboard after he shot it. I did it to Dirk in the game. When I saw his face, I knew we had him.
That was the one with the 8 versus the 1.
And if you want your heart back, Dirk, and your game back, I can give it back to you because I still got it in my pocket.
Wow.
Hey, you did. Wow. Look at that.
And with that.
I'm so glad he didn't say that with me in his presence, because that is absolutely ridiculous.
It was fine until he got to the end, and he said, Dirk, if you want your heart and your game back.
Tell him to go watch the 2011 finals, where he had his heart in his game.
Steven Jackson won a title with the Spurs. I think it was... I think it was the one against the Cavs. I think he was on that team.
No, that was
or
the
maybe
year,
even
he
before
was on Golden
that.
State that year.
Yeah. I think it was before that. I think Robinson was still on the team. But
are
anyway,
you sure he won one? Because
I went back and checked for the piece.
Oh, okay. Because I thought he was on that 2013 team that lost to Miami.
Yeah, he went back, but he was on the Spurs before that. He definitely won. He's won one title. He was kind of a fringe, you know, role player for them. But
he won. Yeah,
for him to say to like arguably like a guaranteed 100% first ballot Hall of Famer, if you want your heart and your game back, I've got it right here. What is he even saying? Professional trash talker. That's just what he is.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Nobody's going to remember Steven Jackson 20 years from now. People will remember Dirk. Nobody's going to remember Steven Jackson. When we're in our 50s, no kid's going to come up to us and be like, hey, do you remember Steven Jackson, how good he was? Nobody's going to know or care. Kid will come up, how was Dirk Nowitzki? Oh, he was great. He was phenomenal. One of the best ever. So take that to the bank, Steven Jackson.
Take that for data.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, when you played that, I figured he was going to bring up 07.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's the highest point of his career, right?
Right. And
even though he won a title, that's the high point of his career.
Here's the reason why Golden State won that series. was because of the guy who drafted Dirk Nowitzki, Don Nelson, who was the head coach of the Warriors at that time.
You've gone on this theme before.
Don Nelson literally put that Mavericks team together that Avery Johnson was coaching. That was every guy that got drafted or traded to that team was Don Nelson's guys. That's the reason why. He knew the Mavericks right up. He knew their strengths. He knew their weaknesses. That's the reason why Golden State won that series. And that's the reason, if you include regular season and playoffs, in 06-07, the Mavericks lost 15 games that year. Three of those losses came against the Golden State Warriors. So if you look overall, they went two, because they won two games in the playoffs, and seven against the Warriors that year. The Warriors had their number. And Don Nelson was definitely the overall scapegoat. Now, the players had to play.
Yeah,
and Baron Davis was phenomenal. Monte Ellis was phenomenal. That was kind of like his little coming out party there. But Steven Jackson, the funny thing is, nobody even remembers Steven Jackson in that series.
No, you'll think about Baron Davis first.
Right. You think about Monte Ellis because that was kind of like his little coming out party in that time.
Yeah. Was Jason Richardson on that team?
Yes, and so was Al Harrington, and so was Steven Jackson. That was like their roar.
That's a small ball five right there.
Right.
They didn't play that back then.
And I will tell you this. Mavericks fans and Warriors fans remember that. But Dirk will no longer be remembered for that series. People remember he won a ring. And Dirk's he's in the 30K club.
It's
and he's
like,
one of the best ever.
It's like one of the top 10 things that you think about, though. Because you remember when he won the MVP. And you're going to remember when he won the MVP and he had to accept it not in the playoffs, because that's a thing that people will remember, but it's not one of the first five things
you're gonna remember about Dirk. I think nowadays, obviously, what people will remember most about Dirk is
he's the best international player ever.
Well, that, but from like in the NBA, is that he beat LeBron, Wade, and Bosh on their first try.
Yeah, people are saying it's the last honest title to ever be won.
Yeah, and I'm cool with that as a Mavericks fan.
The Spurs one after that, I think, was still honest. They didn't.
Yeah, you got to respect.
That's even before they had LaMarcus Aldridge.
So. Yeah, you got to respect the Spurs.
So we went on that whole tangent to say that in the 2011 season, the regular season, the best two-man lineup plus minus wise was Dirk and Jason Terry.
Yeah.
So that's probably, and then in the playoffs, the 2011 playoffs, the best two-man lineup was not Dirk and Jason Terry. It was Dirk and another Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd, yeah.
Dirk and Jet were right behind them. Right. There was seven worse, but...
Let me ask you this follow-up question to Mavs' best duo.
Yeah.
Who's your all-time Mavs starting five?
Oh, do we have enough time to do this?
Yeah.
All right, so we're...
Starting at center for the all-time Mavericks.
We're putting them at their prime or at their peak as a Maverick. I guess it's peak as a Maverick,
as a Maverick, yeah.
So
starting at center for the all-time Mavericks, Nick Engstedt.
The center is Tyson Chandler, right?
He's the best center in Mavs history. He only played 2 years.
Which I think he has a case for him and Dirk to be the best duo. Because you would put them together, you know?
They were really good. I don't know about best duo. But they're really good.
But they are going to be the starting front court of your Mavs starting five. So it's Tyson Chandler at the five, Dirk at the four.
Right.
Let's put.
You got it at the three.
Blackman.
Yeah.
Or Mark Aguirre. I feel like those guys are like interchangeable wing type guys.
I would put Aguirre over Blackman. And Mark Aguirre was really good.
And then your point guard is interesting.
Yeah, you can choose.
Because do you go Jason Kidd?
You can choose Kidd. You can go Nash.
Yeah, Nash. Could you maybe throw Jason Terry there, just like push him back down to the one?
Nah.
Probably not. So your best duo of all time, your the other duo is not on their starting five yeah. all time. How is like this is so weird.
Who do you have at two?
At the two guard? Well, yeah. I guess it'd be Jason Terry, right?
I put Finley.
Yeah, and then Finley. Where do you put Finley on that?
Yeah, and the funny thing is, who'd you have at point guard, Nash or Kidd?
See, Kidd won the title, so his heights were higher, but then Nash was a better player when he played on the Mavericks, and for the length that he played on the Mavericks.
Now I'm gonna pick Kidd, but not because he won the championship.
I guess it just depends on what. Like, is this starting five going to go play against somebody else's best starting five? Or is this just like...
No, just...
accolades yeah. and like best...
Now, I'm picking Kidd at point guard. Not because he won the championship, and no disrespect to Nash, but One thing I really loved about Jason Kidd, whether he was with Dallas, New Jersey, Phoenix, was that he was a really smart point guard, not just offensively, but defensively and just in the game. Like, for example, you may not remember this, but when the Mavericks played Oklahoma City in the Western Conference Finals, Kevin Durant tried to hit a three-pointer to go into to try to win the game, right?
Yeah.
It got blocked by Sean Marion, right? Jason Kidd catches the ball, and with 0.2 seconds left, he was the only person on the court who remembered that they had a timeout left. Everybody else just walked because they assumed it was going into overtime. It was just Kidd's smartness, and Kidd was way better defensively than Steve Nash was. Steve Nash was not a good defensive point guard, but Jason Kidd actually was. So that's the only reason why I'm picking Kidd, but no disrespect to Nash, though.
Yeah. So, I'm for Kidd. For me, it's like who was the best, who had the best career, like as a Maverick. And I think Nash's was better overall.
They were both really good.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's why we're talking about them as
It's hard to make a. Now, some people would pick Terry over Finley, though, at the two.
Yeah. Well,
and I understand.
He's right up there.
I understand it. And, you know, at the three.
And Rolando Blackman did play two more than he played three. So we threw him at three. He's 6'6". He was a wing. It's, you know, right now in the NBA, we're doing like positionless basketball. But back then, he was more of a two.
And number three, heck, I even loved Marion at three. I mean,
Sean Marion was, you know.
Sean Marion, he was the Matrix, man. He made stuff happen.
He still is the Matrix.
Yes, he is.
Devin Harris gets no love.
For top, nah.
No, it's too high for him.
Remember Devin's years with New Jersey?
He was an all-star.
Yeah, he was so good.
He was an all-star. It's amazing. You're going to go back and like this past Mavericks team, you're like, who was an all-star on this team? And you're like, okay, Dirk. Darren Williams. Devin Harris. What the heck?
What a fall from grace for Darren Williams.
Yeah.
This was a $100 million point guard at one point. There was a
that conversation. The Mavericks wanted. The Mavericks wanted this $100 million point
guard. They did. There was a
$100 million.
There was a time about 10 years ago where the conversation was, who's the best point guard, Darren Williams or Chris Paul? That was an actual conversation. Like, we'll argue nowadays. I mean, we've been arguing all year, you know, Westbrook or Harden, who's the MVP? Yeah. Who was the best? Like, Chris Paul, Darren Williams, that was an actual conversation. Like, kids today who are, like, 10, 11 years old, you're going to be like, Darren Williams? Yeah, he wasn't no great point guard.
That's
go look at his time in Utah.
Yeah, that's how he's going to be remembered. Another guy we didn't give love to was the other retired Maverick.
Who?
Brad Davis.
Who has his number yet? His number's in the
retired.
Rafters at the AAC.
He's not. He's definitely not one of the top, you know, Mavericks ever. But
no,
you have to at least throw him in the conversation.
Brad,
because he's retired. It's like the Cowboys Ring of Honor thing. Like, you got to put him in the conversation if they were, you know, up there.
By the way, we know Dirk will obviously be up there. Terry will be up there. Is Jason Kidd going to be up there? Because remember, he played in Dallas twice.
Yeah, because the beginning of his career, and how many like full seasons did he play in
Dallas? I believe it was seven, if you consider both stints.
Well, and you have to. It's eight, actually. 500 games. He played legit 500 games. That's a solid career.
That's
a solid career there. He played his first 2.5 seasons, basically, with the Mavericks, and then basically, besides that Knicks season that he played, he played the last, you know, five.
Right.
5.5 seasons.
So
4.5 seasons.
Yeah, he's gonna have his number up there. He should.
Yeah, especially if you look at this is 2011. Sorry guys, this is gonna be really sad. The 2011 might be the only title that they win for the next 20 years. 10
well,
10
hey,
years.
You
like,
know what?
It doesn't happen for teams.
Hey, you know
for forever. You know,
I'm not gonna say that.
Only the Celtics won tons of titles in the 80s and then didn't win one until 2008.
In 2011,
and that's the Celtics.
In 2011, when the Mavericks won,
nobody
in their right mind predicted that the Golden State Warriors in just 4 years would be the team they are today. We did not see that in 2011.
That's true. It could happen to anybody.
Right. It's very. I mean, free agency happens, things change, draft picks happen. When Kawhi Leonard got drafted, nobody thought he would be the guy he is today.
Especially the Pacers, because they traded him away for George Hill. Especially the Pacers.
So, I mean, anything
now
can happen.
Gone.
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. But, you know.
Teams change all the time. I mean, you know, when Miami won the championship, what, 3 years ago? Four years ago?
Who would have thought Miami was going to have, you know, LeBron?
LeBron, Wade, and Bosh.
No, just LeBron. Like, who would have thought that he would have been in Miami?
Yeah, but. I mean, it's definitely – I won't say they're totally dead in the water. They have a great owner. They still have a good GM.
Well, I'm surprised you just said that. You still think Donnie Nelson's a good GM? Because a lot of people don't, especially during this season. A lot of people didn't. I think the Nerlens Noel thing helped him a lot.
I think that he's been aggressive.
Thing being the trade.
I think that he has been very aggressive. I think there have been some decisions where that I don't like. But this was going to happen with the Mavericks eventually.
You didn't like trading a bunch of assets for Shane Larkin. And
yes. But look
at cap space for Dwight Howard.
You know, I look at it like this. I mean, let's look up in Boston at Danny Ainge, right? Yeah. Before he got KG and Ray Allen, everybody wanted him gone. Because I remember living in New England at that time. In 2007, the Celtics lost 18 games in a row. In 2008, they won the championship. You know, I think that Donnie Nelson has been very aggressive, particularly since they won the championship. They traded for Lamar. They traded for Rondo. They've been
taking stabs at stuff.
Right. They've been taking stabs at stuff. It hasn't worked out, but I think it hasn't worked out because, like we mentioned at the beginning of the show, the Mavericks have been on the wrong side of 30.
Yeah.
I think if they're on the right, and that was going to happen eventually with an aging superstar. When the Mavericks won the championship in 2011, let's be honest, they were not a team of spring chickens. They weren't young pups. They were an older team. Just like when the Celtics won and made the finals, they were an older team too.
I just wish you would have kept doing like more like animal analogies. Like, they weren't baby birds.
Yeah.
They weren't larvae. They weren't tadpoles.
They weren't piglets.
just like keep going over and over with more like animals.
Right. They weren't a young team. So now the Mavericks are getting on the right side of 30. So what's going to happen in the future? I don't know. But the Mavericks were aggressive in trying to get Dirk a championship. Dirk got it. I don't think Donnie Nelson's a bad GM. Now, when it comes to drafting, you can make a different argument.
Yeah, not so great.
Hasn't been the greatest draft.
I just thought of this randomly, and we can talk about this in our last couple of minutes. But I think a comparison for Nerlens Noel. What do you think about Ben Wallace? And thinking that this Mavericks team should fashion themselves the same way that 2004 Pistons team did.
I loved Ben Wallace.
Ben Wallace was awesome.
Ben Wallace was my boy.
Ben Wallace was like my go-to center in 2K.
Big Benny Ben Wallace.
Actually, not even 2K, NBA Live at that point. That's a defunct franchise that people will not remember. But
yes.
I liked NBA Live more than 2K because I didn't know better.
I was an NBA Live fan at any time. And then I was introduced to 2K and never looked back.
It's like, what was there before Madden? Like, wasn't there? There was another one too.
There before, I mean, Madden's been around.
There was an NFL 2K, right?
There was an NFL 2K. There was an NFL ESPN, and there was NFL Game Day.
Ooh.
And remember NFL Blitz back in the 90s,
yeah,
where you could like beat people up.
Then there was NFL Street, and there's NBA Street, obviously.
Yes.
There was an NFL Street. That's insane.
Yes. You would just beat the heck out of people.
They came out with one in 2004. That was the last NFL 2K.
Wow.
That's recent.
13 years ago.
Wow.
I was in seventh grade.
ESPN NFL 2K5.
That game was actually cool. I actually liked it. That was the one with T.O. on the cover.
But
right?
Madden has just completely overtaken it, and then the same way NBA 2K has taken over.
Yes.
That's so weird to me that 2K can flop in one sport and then just do so great in the other sport.
Yeah.
And like dominate the whole
2K has dominated the NBA. Like, yeah. And it's really good because, like, this is what I'm going to tell you when I got done with Live. I did I think it was 06 or 07, right? And I had a season, right?
Yeah.
And at the end of the season, Chris Bosh won MVP, and he was averaging 41 points and 23 rebounds. I said, that's so not like.
Was he on your team?
No, he was on the Raptors. I chose the Mavericks. He had 41 points and 23 rebounds. And then another time I got done with it was I was playing my friend in Live.
Yeah.
And I was the Mavericks and he was the Rockets. And this is back in PS2 when the graphics weren't as great as they are now. I passed it over to what I thought was Josh Howard because he had a headband on. And it was actually Eric Dampier. And he hit a three from the corner.
No.
And I said, I'm done. I said, I'm done. This game is so fake. That will never, ever, ever happen. And I was done with Live.
And I don't think I've played that game since. That game is terrible.
Oh, man.
When Eric Dampier hits a three-pointer, you're done. Just goodbye.
But what do you think about
where are we going?
We were thinking about Nerlens Noel as a Ben Wallace type.
Because
if for him to be the type of player that would, you know, garner like max money and for him to be worth it, I think he has to be like that defensive player of the year type,
all
defensive team.
I think he will be a bit more better offensively than Ben Wallace was.
I sure hope so.
Yeah, because Ben Wallace was not good at offensively. He wasn't a good free throw shooter. He just was not.
41% for his entire career.
Right. But he was very good and very, very effective defensively. But, I mean, I don't know, because the game has changed a lot, particularly with the center position. And, I mean, from a defensive standpoint, I can agree with you comparing him to Ben Wallace. Offensively, I think he'll be a little bit better. Because, especially with the way the game is played now, with lobs and alley-oops, I think he'll be much better offensively.
And he's not going to have the same kind of numbers. Like Ben Wallace had a 15-rebound season.
I don't see him doing that.
Listen to this line. 7 points, 15 rebounds, 1.5 assists, or 1.5 steals, 1.5 assists even, and then 3.2 blocks. 1 year he had 3.5 blocks that led the NBA.
Yeah, he won defensive player what? How many times? 2 or 3 times?
4.
Yeah, he was really good. Very, very good.
That's a lot.
He was a very good player.
4 times.
You know, I'm
him and LeBron played together.
They did.
Cleveland.
And he played on Detroit, Chicago, Cleveland.
Yeah.
Wow. I loved him in 04. No offense against your Lakers. No. That was when and even when the Pistons won that, like, that was so fun to watch. Just Kobe and Shaq were a mess, but like the Pistons. Like, if you look at their rosters on paper, you could be like, how in the world did the Lakers lose? But you got to give it to – it was kind of like Heat Mavericks. You know, it's just like you look at from a talent perspective, you're like, oh, the Lakers have so much more talent. But Detroit was able to pull it off like the Mavs did against the
Heat. Wow, do you know who's an assistant coach on that 05 or that 04 Pistons team that won the title?
An assistant coach?
Yeah, you won't guess.
Who?
Mike Woodson.
Oh, wow. Larry Brown, head coach of that team.
Mr. Potato Head himself, Mike
that's
Woodson.
That's a good one.
Mike Woodson. Anyway, wow. That's what happens when I go on Basketball Reference and I start looking around places.
Wow. You know what? We need to do just something with random facts that we both know about the NBA, because I feel like we both
well,
know
that. I had to look it up.
Well, I mean, even if we have to, like, I just feel like we both randomly know a lot of random facts about NBA history.
Yeah.
Like, I'll never forget that time on this show. Remember that time I randomly guessed Hubert Davis?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Was that our ridiculous stats quiz?
Yeah.
By the way, go back and listen to our ridiculous stats quiz. It was from a couple weeks ago. It's definitely a timeless classic.
That was fun.
Back and try to guess some of them and go with us and play with us. So go back and look at the ridiculous stats quiz. But this Pistons team, I think that the Mavericks could sort of fashion themselves out of. And there's a trade that was offered to us. The Locked On Network is doing a Locked On draft, so check out Locked On Mavs, and so some guy from the Suns offered us Eric Bledsoe straight up for the 9th pick, and I was like, well, the Mavericks want to, you know, they want to rebuild. You know, I'm not sure we want a 28 year old Eric Bledsoe that has never played 82 games, and you know,
I'm not sure
we wanted that. But then I thought, like, man. Bledsoe, Wes Matthews, Harrison Barnes, Nerlens Noel, and then throw in Dorian Finney-Smith there. Like, who's going to score against that team? That is a good defensive team right there. Like, that's like a grit and grind type team that team can do some stuff. That's just a fun team to just, like, think about.
And then you mentioning Nerlens and Ben Wallace, that 04 Piston team that was a dirty grit, fight and grind defensive team. I mean,
that's what kind of threw it together for me there.
Right. I get it. I still don't want it.
It's not ideal.
Right. But
I think we're going to say no to it.
Yeah. Hypothetically, if it did happen, I don't think I'd be totally upset. I think a lot of Mavs fans might. But
Mavs fans wanted Brandon Knight. Isn't Eric Bledsoe a better version of Brandon Knight? Even though Brandon Knight is somehow younger than Eric Bledsoe. That's amazing.
How old is Brandon?
Really? Brandon Knight's 26.
Huh.
There's a random thing I knew about.
I did not know he was 26.
Oh, yeah. He still got some time in front of him. And he was like borderline an all-star a couple years ago with the with the you know, the Milwaukee Bucks.
Wow.
Also, not this past year, but the year before, Brandon Knight, 20 points a game, 5 assists, 4 rebounds a game. That's a good line. Wow. That's a really good
that's
line.
Very, very, very
that's why respectable. I think, that's why I think some people wanted Brandon Knight this season. But I got we got some tweets about Brandon Knight. So, but you think Eric Bledsoe is like a better player than Brandon Knight, right?
I do.
Yeah. So you would do, I don't know, number 9 for Eric Bledsoe in a vacuum. Not thinking about injuries to me is worth it. But for this Mavs team, where they want to go, now we're looking at possibly doing Wes Matthews to the Pistons for 12 and John Lure. Just get another pick. Get two shots. Get two stabs at it trying to get a good player.
Why not?
Yeah. You get Frank at 9, and then you get, I don't know. Like,
you know, I might be changing my draft pick.
Wow. All right, here we go. We got 5 minutes left. Go for it.
I was thinking about Dennis.
No.
And I was thinking, listen, I like Frank a lot. And
so do the Mavericks.
But I just have one concern about Frank. Is he 18? 19?
Almost 19.
Like, that's so young.
How old is Dennis Smith? He's like a year older than him.
I know.
Barely a year older than him.
But he's 18.
Yeah.
Think about how you were when you were 18, or I think about how I was when I was 18.
I didn't know 2 languages, that's for sure. Yeah, Frank knows at least 2.
I know. I mean,
they're probably going to pick Frank. That's where they're going to go.
If he's available. And I'm not mad at it, because remember, I did say I liked Frank a lot. Like, I'm so like, I like him a lot. I don't know. I just want them to be good. And I will say this.
18, you said that very loud.
I saw him. It must have been my microphone. But 18, 19, 20. Harrison Barnes, 25. Nerlens Noel, 22. I do like that.
Yeah, the timeline on there, like, Harrison Martin's going to be the grizzled veteran, and he'll be hitting like his peak prime by the time that these guys end up being like, you know,
and then
solid.
We'll get Kristaps Porzingis, and then
that'd be amazing.
The Warriors won't be able to keep their team, and we'll get Klay Thompson.
By then, Harrison Barnes might be playing the 5, though.
Yeah,
like, at that point.
No, we're gonna have a starting 5 of Frank, Klay Thompson, Harrison Barnes.
All right, so we're doing
Kristaps Porzingis.
We're doing this thing on Locked On Mavs. Where we're calling it the Sottenham Shame, where we have people send us the worst trades that they see. Like, people post like really bad trades, and we have people send them to us. And somebody sent us to us this trade that this guy said, and it was, what about Wes Matthews and a 2nd round pick for Klay Thompson? I wish you guys could see the look Taman's giving me right now. That's why it's called the Sottenham Shame.
Yeah, I so wish y'all could have seen my face too, because the Warriors would be flat out stupid to do that. Just no.
That would never happen.
That would never. Who? Somebody tweeted that?
Yeah. I don't think it was sarcastic either. There's some bad trades out there.
When people propose trades, do they only look at it from like our side? They don't look at it from the other side. Yeah, like why in the world would the Warriors do that?
Just because it works on the trade machine doesn't mean it's gonna happen.
Yeah, right. This isn't 2K
or
that
NBA
Live. That might even be a live trade. I think in 2K that would probably get denied. Like in live, they'd be like, okay. Like, just because you do it in a video game doesn't mean it's gonna happen in real life. And it's funny because I realized that as a kid. When I was a kid, I remember. I sent something on the internet about how the Mavericks should trade. I don't remember who it was because it was years ago, but they should trade for like Vince Carter.
Yeah.
And looking back on it, it was probably a dumb trade that only benefited the Mavericks, but I didn't look at it from the other side. So please, fans, MFFLs, be reasonable. The Warriors in the right
mind
would be.
Don't be reasonable. Don't be reasonable because it's funny to do the Sodom Shames.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I get that. Fair enough.
Send us your dumb trades.
Right. Do it to us, but if it doesn't happen, just don't be surprised. That's all I got to say.
So there you go. So we decided that our best duo ever is probably going to be Dirk and Jet, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
That's the best duo. Even though the duo that actually played together, Dirk and Nash and Dirk and Tyson Chandler, are going to be on the all-time 5.
Yeah, that's true. It's a weird starting 5, but in a duo, but hey, it works.
And that's the Mavericks
right
there.
Hey, Jason Terry came off the bench for a lot of that time, so it works. He's our 6th man.
So did Manu Ginobili, and everybody's talking about him like he's a guaranteed Hall of Famer and stuff.
I love Ginobili, even though I hated him pretty much the entire time he played.
All right, thanks so much for listening to Mavs Fanatic Podcast, guys. Please, if you can, go to iTunes. Subscribe if you're not already. Subscribe to the podcast. rate and review us. Give us 5 stars. It really helps us out. There's only like 3 Mavs podcasts right now, like only Mavs podcasts, and we're one of them. So
yes.
Do it for us.
Do it, please.
Thanks so much, guys.
Later.
I'm right, Tamen's wrong.
Boom. Ah!